Well, good morning, everybody. Appreciate everybody coming out this morning, and we got a good crowd for Sunday school. That's a blessing. I appreciate that. Some through adverse situations are here, and I appreciate that. And we're still here in the 23rd Psalm. We've been looking at several different things and just slowly working our way through this chapter and just seeing things in every verse. And man, you could never exhaust the Word of God.
Right.
And
right.
It's just amazing that every time you look at it, just even one word out of a verse can do so much for the heart. And I'm thankful for that. But we've made it down here to verse number 4. And so we'll continue on. I'll read the first 3 verses and we'll dive right in. Or first 4 verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And that's where we stopped last week. We come to verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so what a beautiful verse that God has given us in verse number 4. And there are several things we'll look at here. I'll list those for you for anybody that may be keeping up an outline. But as we come to verse 4, what I find here is the security that is brought to us through the shepherd. And it's his security. So we've seen the submission, sufficiency, supply, the sovereignty, and now the security of the shepherd, verse number 4. And so I'm going to break verse 4 down. With the Lord being my helper, I'm going to break it down in about five different sections. And those sections I've titled the action, the atmosphere, the attitude, the accompaniment, and the affirmation. And so I like to study my Bible that way. It helps me. It helps me when I break it down and see the different things that God's saying. I rarely just come out and say those things, but I don't know how everybody else looks at their Bible, but I try to divide it up by piece, because that's the only way I can figure this thing out. And so that's how we'll look at it. So today, as we look, we're going to start looking at the action. So verse number 4, once again, he said, "Yea, though I walk." And so what we find here is as David is reflecting on all the things that he's already said about the shepherd, Jesse comes here and he tells us what he's doing. He says, "Yea, though I walk." That is presently he's saying, I walk. And what I find in our Christian life is that this thing is a walk. Every day, Brother Doug, is a new day of walking with the Lord. Walking with the Lord turned out real good for Enoch, didn't it? And the truth of the matter is, whether or not we get translated as Enoch did, we're going to get translated one day. And I want to walk with him every day. And I hope that you do as well. But there's no place in the Christian life to stop walking.
Right.
Every day we are to walk. And I thought here as we walk, remember who we've been teaching that we are to be following. We are the sheep. He's the shepherd. So as we walk, what are we doing? We're to be walking after him. And so David says, "Yea." What that means is yes, truly, verily, sincerely, I am affirming, I am walking. That's what he's saying.
Yeah,
just like, you know, I mean, when Jesus wanted somebody to hear what he said real serious, what word did he use? He would use the word verily, or he would say truly. And that's what David said right here. He said, "Yea." He wanted you to stop and understand that what he had already said and what he is saying has some affirmation behind it. This is serious. Yea. So what he's about to say, we need to pay close attention to. So Christians are to be walking. If you are a sheep, you are to be walking. And so as I started thinking about that, man, my mind just started going to all these verses in the Scripture where we are told to walk and how we are to walk. What's our walk supposed to look like? And so I'm not going to list all these Scriptures for you, but I want you to just listen what the New Testament teaches our walk is supposed to be like. We are told in starting in the book of Romans, and we'll just move on through, we are to walk in newness of life. We're to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Right.
We are to walk honestly. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in good works. We are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Yeah.
We're to walk in love. Walk as children of the light. We're to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk in Christ Jesus the Lord. Walk in wisdom. Walk worthy of God. We're to walk in the light. Walk even as He walked. Walk after His commandments. Walk in truth. That's a lot of walking. That don't leave a whole lot of time for sitting. And so there's no time in our Christian life that we have to sit down on God. Now, I understand there's times of rest, but I thought as I was pondering on this verse, and you say, well, when do I stop? Well, you stop when you can't go on no farther. And I thought as Moses followed God out of Egypt, and they just walked, and they followed the Lord, but then they came to a place where they couldn't walk no farther. And Brother Kevin, it was at that point they thought, man, our walk is over.
That's right.
And the people said, what have you done to us? You brought us out of Egypt, and now, Ty, we can't walk any farther, and the enemy's behind us. We're trying to walk, Lord, but there's a stumbling block in front of us. We can't go no farther. For those of you who don't know the story, what he's talking about was the Red Sea.
Right.
So we can't walk no more. So at that time, what did Moses say? He just said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So I'm glad that as long as what we're doing all that we know to do, we're walking in the things that we know to walk in, to the place that we know to go, we're walking following the one we know to follow, we have nothing to fear. We may come up on some Red Seas in our life to a point where we've walked and we don't know where the next step is going to come from. And at that time, you just keep wanting to walk and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Right.
And guess what? He'll provide you a path to go down. It might not be in your time, be in His time. But we know that there's never a time to quit. And so I'm thankful for that. Folks, we're too near home at this point to lay this thing down. I mean, I just always go back. I can't help but go back to Romans 13 and the Apostle Paul says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I mean, every day that we live, I'm just another day closer home. And whether it be through the rapture, whether it be through death, either way, I am closer home today than I was yesterday. I don't have time to quit. Man, if we quit now, who does it affect?
Go ahead.
I mean, if I was 80 years old, Jesse, and I quit, Brother Delmer, if you were to quit right now, you're like the majority of your life we all know is behind, right? I mean, you're nearing home. It might be 5 years, it might be 100 years, I don't know, but if we quit now, who would that wreck? If Brother Kevin today just said, I'm done, how many people right here would that wreck? And you may think, well, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher.
Oh, go ahead, brother.
I'm not this and I'm not that. Well, you better believe there's eyes on you.
Yeah.
If you name the name of Christ, there are eyes on you. And You might not have even a family to shipwreck, but you can shipwreck mine.
Right. That's right.
Don't shipwreck my children. I'm going to try my best not to shipwreck yours. And the only way we can do that and to know that we're doing what we need to be doing is just to keep walking. Don't stop walking. Don't give up. If you're still breathing, there's no time to give up. I can't say that enough. Don't give up. Don't give in. You see, there's plenty of walking to do. And for the saints of God, I've listed a whole bunch of things that we are to walk in and to walk toward, to walk after. But, you know, as I think about it, a lot of times it's not that people just quit walking. It's that they might still be walking, but they're walking after the wrong things.
That's right.
And so there was a time that maybe they were walking hard after the Lord, but then all of a sudden their walk changed and they found something that they would rather walk after than Him. And just as the Bible gives us clear direction on things we're to walk after, we have some clear direction on things that we're not to walk after.
That's right.
And so first question today for everybody here is, are you still walking or have you quit? Where are you at? You answer that for yourself. But then the second question is, if you are still walking, what are you walking after? Some people just threw in the towel.
Right.
And they need to just pick it up and start walking. Go on for the Lord. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you got offended. Maybe something happened in your life that just made you fall down. Get up and go on for the Lord. But there's some people that didn't happen that way. Man, they were walking and something else caught their eye. And you know as well as I do, if I'm walking and I'm on a straight path and I start looking off at something else, what happens? Man, I just start swerving. You remember that message we heard on swerving from Brother Kinsey? It's real easy to just start swerving in this thing and start walking after it. Man, if you're walking this way, I'm not never going to get over there. All you have to do is turn 1 degree. You think about that. If you've got 50 years left, some of you in here is probably, say, 30 years old. And if you live to 80, you got 50 years left. And you say, well, one bad choice, 1 degree, just a minor twist for just a minute, ain't that bad. Well, man, I wish I'd have thought. But if I've got a line going from here that goes to that back wall and it's a straight line, and I turn 1 degree off of that line from here to that back wall, I might be this far off by the time I get to that wall.
You're right.
But Brother Jerry, if I compare that to 50 years of walking, just 1 degree off, how many miles have I traveled? Stephen, 1 degree. Over 50 years adds up to a whole lot of distance. Because what the term we would use are those lines are diverging. They're going separate ways. And even though, man, I'm real close to being dead on. 1 degree, any of you that line up guns know what I'm talking about. Man, I'm right on point for just a little while, it seems like. But man, over time, it just goes farther and farther. It's dangerous to just get a little off for just a short time. But man, it's real dangerous when you get off just a little bit, but you never get back on course. And you said, man, that mistake was just a little one, but you never got back on the line and walked the direction you're supposed to walk. 50 years from now, 10 years from now, what kind of detriment can that bring?
Right.
Folks, you'll miss the mark. I'm not talking about losing your salvation, none of that. But just understand that a small problem can make drastic differences. If not just corrected. This life is a constant battle. Just, man, I'll be walking this way, something will get my attention. I think, oh, got to get back on track. Got to keep walking this line. Just be careful. What are you walking after? So there are things that we're clearly told in Scripture not to walk after. Here's just a few. We're not to walk after the flesh. We're not to walk in darkness. We're not to walk in rioting. We're not to walk in drunkenness.
Right.
Hopefully nobody here does. Chambering. That word chambering means lewdness, immodest behavior. Not to walk in wantonness. That means indulgence without restraint. We're not to walk in strife or envy. We're not to walk by sight. Remember, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And we're not to walk as fools. So we need to be careful how we're walking in this thing. Because every now and then, you know where I find myself? I'll find myself out of that large list that I'm supposed to be walking in. I find myself down there on that short list of bad. That flesh. Man, that encompasses a lot of things, don't it? Flesh, darkness. It's easy to find yourself walking in these things we're not supposed to be walking in. Strife, envy. Sometimes I even probably walk as a fool. I've done some real foolish things in my life and made some real foolish decisions. We ought not act like we're all perfect. Because I guarantee even the best of the best in here has made some bad mistakes. And it'd do us all good to just let everybody know, man, made some bad mistakes. And if you've made those bad mistakes, and maybe you've got off a few degrees, maybe you've not got off 1 degree, you've got off 90 degrees or 180 degrees. That happens too, don't it? Sometimes you hear something behind you and you turn around and look that way. And before you know it, you stopped here and you started walking backwards. You lose some ground. God can help with that too. And Kevin got all over this Wednesday. But he can make those long periods of bad. He can just make up for them in a very short time.
That's right.
And that's why when he read, you know, we're over there, we're taught by the Apostle Paul to forget those things which are behind. He said, we can't do nothing about what I did. I can't do nothing about what I did already this morning.
Right.
So, I mean, it's gone. It's already history. Thank God you don't know it. Only me and God knows it for the most part. But those things are gone. I can't change them. Can't go back. All I can do is make sure that my walk from this point forward is as straight as it can be. And we ought just walk after the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm putting those things under the blood. We heard this Wednesday night. If you were here, you heard this Wednesday night. Put it under the blood. Go on for God. And just walk after Him. We're going to mess up. We're still in the flesh. We're going to blunder. We're going to do stupid things. Lay them aside and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Repent of them. 1 John is still there that teaches us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful. That is a promise of God. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? We are told those things. Paul still says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What does he say after that? Them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is a description of the life of every person that is living a life outside, that is no longer under the condemnation of God. We are to be walking every day. Just whatever happened yesterday, correct that thing and just continue the walk.
Yeah.
He's faithful. We just confess it. Don't try to hide it. Confess it. We all fail. I don't know whether to move on or just stay right there. I feel like, man, there's some things that's sinking in right now. Folks, let's let some things go. Go after God. He is faithful. He is faithful. And so we see first off here, we see the action. Yea, though I walk. And so we come to the next part of the verse. I want you to notice the atmosphere. It said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That don't sound like a good atmosphere, does it? He's still walking. But you notice that his atmosphere is no good. What's he walking through? He says, the valley of the shadow of death. I don't like the valley. I don't like the shadows. And I sure don't like death. It does not sound like a good place to be, does it? But I'm thankful for how he starts that. Right after he says, yea, though I walk, I love the next word that he uses. He says, I walk through.
Right.
And when I read that and I started pondering on that, man, that made me so happy. He did not say, yea, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. But he said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, the word through means you go from one end and you go through to the other. You go all the way to the other. It means you go from one side all the way to the other. That means if I go through something, that doesn't mean I ever quit in the middle. Right? I'm glad when I suck something through a straw, it don't stop halfway up it. I want it to come all the way through. Simple as we can put it. Through means I start on one end and I'm making it to the other end.
Yes, sir.
And so we're not stopping. It is a notation of passage. Means I'm passing from here to over yonder. And so I'm thankful that word through is there. So I might be in the valley right now, David says. Man, it looks bad. I'm in the shadow. I'm around, surrounded by death. All I can see between me and the sun is death. But I'm just walking through it.
Right.
I know that where I am right now is not where I'm finishing up. I'm going through. And so, man, we might find ourselves in very bad places at times, but aren't you glad that we are going through, that we have hope beyond this life, that we're not going to be stuck right here where we're at? Maybe you're in a terrible place today. Folks, this thing didn't come to stay. It came to pass, as they say, right? I love that phrase in my Bible when it says, and it came to pass. I'm glad some things in this life come, but I'm glad to look at them in my rearview mirror. And no matter how bad it is, no matter if it's a sickness unto death, there's going to be a day we're looking at that thing in our rearview, and it's going to be past, and it's going to be gone. And we're, even though it was bad, folks, we have something so much far better to look forward to. So I thought, you know, Kevin, I'm telling you, Kevin, you were all over this stuff Wednesday. But I thought about Hebrews 11. I had this in my notes already when he started Wednesday night. I thought, oh, no, he's going to be all over it. So he got over here, and Hebrews 11, I'm just going to read it again. If it was good for Wednesday, it's good for today. Verse 13, you know, he's talking about these patriarchs of our faith, specifically here, Abraham. But he says in verse 13, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Abraham knew that, man, I'm just here for a little while. Whether that be 200 years, 300 years, 900 years, it's a short time compared to eternity. He says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country.
Right.
And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Abraham didn't care nothing about returning.
Amen.
Amen. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Folks, if we're walking as we ought to walk, keeping our minds that, man, we're just pilgrims. We're just strangers here. We're just here for a short time, and no matter what comes, whether it be death, whether it be sickness, whether it be heartache, pain, our family leaving us, whatever it may be, we're just passing through. That is all. It is just going from one side to the other. There's a lot that can happen while we're through, while we're in there. But we, as believers that have been born again, we are promised, as Jesus told His disciples, go to the other side. We have been told we're going to the other side. That's why, you know, that's why when Paul got out there and they got stranded on, what was it, the Isle of Miletus, maybe? Miletus. And man, those serpents come out and bit him, and all those all that craziness happened in his life. I mean, they were shipwrecked, right? Why did he not worry? Why was that not fearful to him? Because he had already had a promise that told him, you must go to Rome.
Right.
You're going.
He
said, you're going through. So, man, he wasn't concerned about that storm. He wasn't concerned about what happened. He said, it don't matter how I get there. There's no telling what might happen between here when we sail out and the time I make it to where God's told me I'm going, but I know that that's where I'm going. Same for Abraham. He didn't know where he was going. He literally did not know where God would take him. But he just left Ur of the Chaldees and said, I'm going with God. I'm leaving all the comforts of where I was at, where I've spent my life, where my family's at. I'm getting out of here and I'm going with God. Man, if we could just get that attitude in our daily walk, we could just leave this thing behind. We could lay those things behind and say, man, I messed up yesterday, but I'm seeking a country. I've got a better place to be. Old Freddie Melton was on this morning on my daughter's radio when it came on, and she was still sleeping through it. But he said, man, just knowing that heaven's coming makes it worth it all. And I thought, praise God, that's right. And so I'm thankful that we are going through. See, 1 Peter 2:11, Peter addresses the people as strangers and pilgrims. Why? Because this is just a temporary place. No matter how bad it is, it's just temporary. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So there was a time when my citizenship was here, and this is all I had. This was it. I was a citizen of the world, and I was a stranger to the things of God. But the day I got born again, my citizenship just got swapped, and I became then a stranger and a pilgrim here and a citizen of a new country. That is, a heavenly country. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says it like this, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. We are just passing through. He also says in Ephesians, we are seated in what places? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Folks, my citizenship no longer is here. I'm going home one day. And if you're saved, you have that hope too. We are going home one day. We need to pick up those roots, as you talked about Wednesday. We've got them too deep. That's why everything in this world bothers us so bad. That's why the things that occur today, this morning, that mess my day up, that's why they affect me so much, is because I've got so deep roots here. And we all have that problem, don't we, honey? We think we've got a mindset that today is so bad. And man, it gets in our minds, and all we can think about is what's going on in my life right now. But man, if I could stretch eternity out before you today, and I were to take my pencil that I've got right here and say, well, I don't know how you could even do it, but if you were to take a dot, say on this back wall, and I stretched it out up here, and I were to take my pencil and just say this wall's eternity, right?
Oh, yes.
That's an eternity of pencil mark days. And I were to come up here and do this. That's what today looks like compared to eternity. That wall. It gets lost in it, don't it? One of these days, my today and your today and the bad things that happened today and the bad things that happened yesterday are going to get lost in eternity. Do you understand that? That the things that are affecting us so bad today are literally just moments that don't even compare or show up in the eternity that awaits us. I mean, we're nothing compared to eternity. But yet we put so much weight and so much stock in what happened this morning. The argument that we had last night with our spouse. The fact that my kid didn't get chosen for the team that I wanted him to get chosen for. The fact that the preacher preached a message that I didn't necessarily like. And those things eat at us and affect us in such a way that it totally pulls our sights off of eternity. But we are pilgrims and strangers. I'm a foreigner here. I do not belong, and I guarantee I feel it every day of my life. When I walk out to the job site, when I show up at work, when I walk into Walmart, man, I feel like somebody that just does not belong. This is the only place I feel like I could belong. I'm with some like-minded people. I hope you're like-minded. I hope your mind's better than mine, honestly. But, folks, I'm a stranger. And if you're born again, you are too. And you feel it when you walk out them doors. Everywhere you walk, think, man, I don't like this place. This just don't feel like home. Why do you reckon that is? Because there's something on the inside that just don't belong here. I belong somewhere else. My citizenship is not here. I am just an ambassador for Christ. Folks, I'm just here for a little while. And I'm to do everything that I can do to try to get as many people to where I'm going as I can. So, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Right? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
That's right.
That where I am, there you may be also. Hopefully you understand that was not a quote from me. That was a quote from John 14. The Lord Jesus Christ himself.
Yes, sir.
He said, don't be troubled. Folks, it looks bad right now. Things ain't looking so good. These people hate me. Don't get troubled about that. He said, if I go away, I will come again. And you're going to be where I'm going. And so no matter the circumstance, no matter the trouble, no matter the problem, just remember, as David said, we are just passing through. We sing the song, I just stopped by on my way home. That's what that's about. It may look rough today. I look around the room and I can't hardly handle it. I just look at family after family after family that just goes through hard times and we went through struggles, but I can't I just can't help but the joy that I'm flooded with when I think about it. And I think, man, God, it's been bad. But you brought this one through, and you brought this one through, and you brought this one through, and you answered this prayer. You've saved that one. I mean, Lord, what felt like an eternity yesterday, I turn around and look at it and think, man, that's just a small portion of eternity. Valerie, I don't know how long we prayed for you every day. But now I look and think, God, thank you. Prayed for my kids every day. Now I look back and think, man, that was a small thing compared to what God's done. God's been good to us.
Yes.
And even in the midst of the hardest, the hard circumstances, He's still good. And man, the bad that we see today is nothing compared to eternity. If I can just say anything today, just understand we are passing through.
Thank God.
It's just short. And not right now, sometimes we look at it and it seems like an eternity. But it is nothing compared to what real eternity is. And man, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for that. So, does anybody know where we're at on time? We'll quit right there. I'm thankful for your good attention. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And hope something that was said today was a help to you. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray back through there in the hallways and the fellowship hall.